It was to Peter a bitter lesson, and one which he learned but slowly, that the path of Christ on earth lay through agony and humiliation. The disciple shrank from fellowship with his Lord in suffering. But in the heat of the furnace fire, he was to learn its blessing. Long afterward, when his active form was bowed with the burden of years and labors, he wrote, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13. So long afterward, we would see that Peter was learning the lesson long afterward that Jesus implanted here as a seed in Peter's heart. That in order to be with Christ in heaven, in exceeding joy, we must be partakers of Christ's suffering. At that very moment when Peter was with Christ, he shrank from fellowship with the Lord in his suffering. But as he grew and as sanctification, because of the truth, took effect in his heart and life, long afterward, he would be able to say, "Rejoice if ye are partakers of Christ's suffering." He come to understand the necessity of being a partaker of Christ's suffering. We know from early writings, page 65 and 66, or I'm sorry, page 66 and 67, early writings, page 66 and 67, that in order to receive the seal of the living God, we must, in fact, become partakers of Christ's sufferings. That's what it means to be baptized into Christ's sufferings, to be a partaker of his suffering. And Peter, when he first heard the words of Christ, they were contrary to the teachings of the Laodicean elders, chief priests, and scribes. So Peter couldn't accept it. He just said, "This shall not be unto thee, Lord." And Christ right away recognized his description of Laodiceans. They do not take God at his word. And he recognized that in Peter, and he talked and directed his comment at Satan, speaking through Peter, when he looked at Peter and said, "Satan, get thee behind me." Peter had not yet learned that in order to get the seal of God, we must be baptized into Christ's sufferings. And what does that mean? That means not to shrink from fellowship with the Lord in his suffering. And who was it that brought him his suffering? The Laodicean elders, chief priests and scribes, they were the ones Jesus warned who would kill him in Jerusalem. But Peter could not accept that. Not right away. It wasn't until long afterward, through the changes made by the teachings of Christ, by witnessing Christ's works and the Word of God in his life, was he able to accept the suffering himself at the hands of the Laodicean elders, chief priests, and scribes. And then he was able to give the true testimony long afterward, and say, "Rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." In other words, he was giving evidence of the words we read in early writings, page 66 and 67, that in order to receive the seal of the living God, we must be partakers in Christ's sufferings. And this is what it means to be baptized into Christ's sufferings. Those who do not teach this, those who teach that baptism is to go down into water and come out of water, excuse me, are only teaching half of the doctrine of the subject of baptism. We must be baptized by water, yes. But the other half of the doctrine is to be baptized into Christ's sufferings at the hands of Laodicean people who profess to be God's people, but they hear the word with stony ground hearing and listening, and they do not do it. We'll stop here for today. There was so much here in this lesson. But we see here in God's word proof of the fact. If we be not surface readers, how can we possibly approach the writings of Ellen White and not come to the conclusion that she gives Christ's word unto us? That she is indeed evidence of the spirit of prophecy, and that the words she gave unto us under inspiration represent the word of God. It's only the Laodiceans, surface readers, that do not see the beauty of what we looked at today. That what Christ said at the first coming, he also gives echo to the Laodicean message for us today in the second coming. Example, he said Laodiceans are an offense to him when he called the Laodicean Peter Satan, and he said, "Thou art an offense to me." And in our own day, in 7 Bible Commentary 963, that same God that does not change said it again about the Laodiceans of our day. They are offensive to me. How can people fail to see the beauty in these writings? That what Christ was teaching for his disciples in his day, because they were laboring under the slavery of Laodicean teaching, and Christ took them step by step out of it, until when they finally said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God," we would think, well, that's enough, they're out. But Peter gave evidence that that was not even enough. Laodiceans will come before thee, my brothers and sisters, and they will say, "We are God's people," and they will hear God's word with stony ground hearing. They fail to understand it. They fail to assimilate its principles, and they do not do the word. In fact, they do not accept God at his word. And even though Peter had professed that Jesus was Christ, Son of God, Peter still gave evidence that he was Laodicean when he said, "Be it far from thee." When he said to Christ, after Christ described his death that was to come in Jerusalem, "This shall not be unto thee," Peter said. Why? Because Peter himself was not willing to suffer at the hands of his beloved Laodicean teachers. He still put them ahead of Christ. He still had other gods. He still did not love with genuine love, but he had blind, heathen, Laodicean, worldly, counterfeit love, the unmeaning, deceitful pretense of love. Not the love just defined in John 14:15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." When God said something, that is his commandment, and Peter wouldn't accept it. When Christ said, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and they will kill me, and on the third day I'll be raised up," and Peter said, "This shall not happen unto you," he gave evidence that he did not accept God at his word, that he had other gods more important to him in place or before Christ. And Christ recognized immediately who was speaking through Peter. Are you and I like that today? When we're among those that present themselves before us and say, we are the people of God, and they hear the word of God, but they do not do it. Are we deceived? When they say, I believe in Christ, He's the Son of God, and then you share the word of God with them, and they say, I don't accept that. Do we not then do as Jesus did? Or we do not have the courage? And what did Jesus do? Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. That's what Jesus said to a stony ground hearer, to a foolish virgin, to one who had an unconverted or heathen form of godliness, to a Laodicean. That's what Jesus said. But Jesus was also speaking to his disciple, Peter. And he was looking at what Peter could be. Doesn't that give you and I hope? We know our failings. Jesus looks at you and he knows what you can be. But first, you must, and I must, be set free from Laodicean teaching. Not till then can it be said that I know Christ. Not until we're set free from the Laodicean teaching. And Christ wasn't through with Peter. And I submit to you, brothers and sisters, as long as there's breath in our nostrils and the process of sanctification goes on, there is hope there for you and I, because Christ isn't finished with us yet either. And if he could look at Peter and call him Satan speaking through Peter, and yet continue to work and forgive Peter, is there not then hope there for you and I? Till someday, like Peter, maybe long after today, we can say with truth and understanding, rejoice inasmuch as you have become a partaker of Christ's suffering, inasmuch as you have become willing and have experienced fellowship with Christ in his suffering at the hands of Laodicean elders, pastors, and authors. When we're willing to accept that fellowship, and when we experience it, then we are partakers in Christ's sufferings. Then we have fulfilled the doctrine of baptism, and we've been not only baptized by water, but we've been baptized into Christ's sufferings. The other half of the doctrine that Laodiceans do not teach, baptism in Christ's sufferings at the hands of Laodicean elders, pastors, evangelists, and authors. Then we'll be eligible to receive the seal of the living God. We'll stop here for today and we'll continue on next week in Desire of Ages, page 416, paragraph 4. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it serves to strengthen our faith and to provide a path that we need and understand how to walk in. We thank you that it teaches us that the path to Christ comes from humility and suffering. Suffering at the hands of those who profess to be his people and are not. We thank you, Lord, that you give us your Holy Spirit that can change us like it changed Peter, and that it gives us hope that today, as we struggle in the process of sanctification, if Peter can do it and overcome through Christ, then we too, each one of us, can struggle and overcome through Christ, until long afterwards, maybe, we can come to accept what Christ has said to us earlier in our life. and have joy, joy even in suffering. Why? Because we then understand it. Help us then to hear with Christian ears. Help us to have ears that hear, and not to be like dumb idols that have ears but they cannot hear. Protect us from stony ground hearing. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we take God at his word. Recreate in us the heart and mind of Christ, that we be properly balanced, having a love of righteousness and a hatred of iniquity. May your will be done in our lives and the lives of our loved ones, our neighbors, and our enemies as well. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming to worship today and for your fellowship. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you for coming to worship today again.